Hallelujah. Blessings to this wonderful church and congratulations, 4 years of God's faithfulness. Let's give Jesus a big, big hand clap. Reverend, thank you. Thank you and your dear wife. I count it a great privilege to bring the word to us this morning. And I was so blessed just listening to him share about the anointing. What a powerful way to prepare people to receive. Everything he said is true. This is how it works. It is not all up to God, and it is not all up to the vessel. There is a role that God has to play. There is a role that the anointed has to play. But there is a role that the receiver has to play. It is God is ever committed to playing his role. And faithfulness demands that the anointed play their role, because the Bible says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But then on the part of receivers, the Bible says, ye ask and ye have not. It's a very dangerous mystery. How can you ask from a God who freely gives and yet not have? I says there can be reasons that interrupt your receiving. Hallelujah. So I'm praying that this ministry will share, that it would truly be a time of impartation. Grace can be transported. Truly, it can leave one location to the other, and you will know when it has come on you. The Apostle Peter said, such as I have, you can know you have it, and you can know you do not have it. The Bible says the man sat at Gate Beautiful begging for alms. He was aware he did not have, and he was looking unto those he felt had. Jesus, in the parable of the 10 virgins, he said, go to them that sell and buy. Go to them. The first requirement is that even though I have a lamp that can burn, maybe my oil is exhausted. And he says, go to them that sell and buy. Father, we ask you to help us this morning. Thank you for the fourth church. We honor you for your great vessel, Reverend Opara and his wife. Thank you for the pastors. Thank you for the great worship team, the leaders and all who labor in word and doctrine in this church. Thank you for the wonderful people who have come to share grace, share fellowship with this church. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to receive yet again. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that your grace will be abundant upon our lives, and that you will shift us to higher levels of favor. And to Jesus be all the glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you very much. Let me also honor my dear friend and wife, Pastor Jakes. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Please be seated. Hallelujah. I felt stirred to just bring one prophetic word, and then we'll have a few minutes. As I sat down there, the scripture just came to me. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. I believe that this is one of the things that God is saying to this church in this season. Will we have it projected? Okay. Revelation 3 and verse 8, media. If you can help me with it, just to read and speak it, and then we'll teach on favor. It says, I know thy works. Just leave it. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. This is what was in my heart. A door is what midwives realms. Every realm is connected to another realm by doors. Doors are authorized systems of access. And so when God says, I have set before you an open door, it then means that a new horizon, a greater opportunity is open, and in the name of Jesus, may it be so. For everyone who is genuinely connected to this grace, whether online, whether here on site, God has spoken it, he does not lie. The Bible says in Genesis 21 and verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he has said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken. May he visit you as he has said. Shout a believing amen. And may he do unto you as he has spoken. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll teach for a few minutes on favor, and then we'll pray. Can we pray in the spirit for 1 minute and just ask that grace will rest upon us?
go ahead and pray.
Psalm 102 verse 13. It says, "Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Joshua's servant, and have mercy upon the fourth church, and have mercy upon your destiny." It says, "For the time to favor her, yea, the third time is come." Hallelujah. Now the Bible teaches, Paul teaching the church in Ephesus, he gives us a very profound foundation for receiving all spiritual things. There is a mentality that the believer must have in order to receive profitably from God. Please pay attention. If your understanding is not accurate, it will affect your receiving from God. There is a way you are supposed to know God that leads to a profitable Christian experience. Are we together? The believer is not given the liberty to randomly know God. There is a protocol. There is a methodical approach to the knowledge of God and the knowledge of His ways that translates to profitable Christian living. That means there are things that if you do not know, or if you do not believe, they will interrupt your knowing or your receiving other things. Are we together? So Paul begins in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. He makes a very profound statement that should be the foundation for the believers receiving from God. Here's what he says. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," he said, "who hath blessed us," take note of that expression, "hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Please say after me, "all spiritual blessings." But it says they are in heavenly places and in Christ. Very intelligent theology. So that at the back of the believer's understanding, in receiving from God, in doing business with God, you have to have this understanding that all spiritual blessings have been given to the believer. The word and the idea of it is access, not necessarily protection. Are we together? The reason why you have the boldness to pray for us is because access has been given. If access is not given and you try to pray for us, right? But first, you want to pray for us. Are we together now? Access is what is going to come to the presence of God. If I will try to have anything without sin, if I'm not kind of going to the door, if I can try to do it, I have given you access to the presence. That the fact that I have reached out is what we're going to do. Are we together? Then you put your hands in my pocket and make your money come. Why? Why? Because I'm trying to have you access to the presence. So this picture right here is not the believer's organization.
because of your confidence. That all spiritual things, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The first word there is all. Then the second, the blessings are spiritual. Now we have a problem because I don't need them in this, I need them in spiritual realm. I need them translated in the way and manner that we live in the world. Come together. But the Bible says they reside in heavenly places and they are only routed to the believer in Christ. Come together. So it's important that we have this. So that in receiving anything, you already know that the problem is usually not yours. His will and his intent has been clearly communicated as actually scripture. If thou be willing, thou can make me clean. He said, I am willing. When it has to do with my willingness, do not doubt me. Come together. This is very important. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, the thief cometh not. And the Bible says, if you want to kill, that is one of the manifesto of Jesus. He says, but I am come. No confusion. This is why I have come. Not just when I came in my earthwork. Anytime I show up, even in a meeting like this, this is what I am there to do. So every time his presence is there, your mind should go to this scripture. Why is he here? Why is his glory here? Why has he come for this midweek service? Why has he come for this 4th year anniversary? He says, I am come. Anytime you see Satan, this is his manifesto too. He does not come except he finds what to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So that is around your life is already evidence that there is something worth killing, worth stealing, worth destroying. Are we together? But Jesus said, I am come. We know he is here by the authority of scripture, that where two or three are gathered in my name, that I am there in their midst, even in the person of the Spirit. And we know why he is here. I am come that ye may have life. Do you know what that means? That everything that translates to your wholesome living and your excelling as a believer becomes an assignment. Favor, prosperity, increase, they are only subsets, expressions of life. And that he says, I am come that you may have it more abundantly. That means in the economy of God, even though we are teaching on favor, but if whilst you are seated there is a bodily infirmity, God will not say it's not a healing service. The ministry is life in its entirety. Are we together now? Yes. I am come. It's important you have this orientation. So God does not withhold. He's giving us all things in Christ. Spiritual blessings. And scripture says that he's come to give life and life in all of its expression. Life in its fullness. The life of the natural man. The Bible describes different kinds of men with respect to our walk with God and the spirit realm. The Bible lists three categories of men. Number one, he calls one the natural man. Number two, he calls the other a carnal man. Are we together? And then he calls the third and final kind of man a spiritual man. And all these three are not the same. The natural man is the man who is unregenerate. He's not accepted the lordship of Christ. Are we together? Does not submit consciously to the authority, the governing authority of the Christ. He's largely a victim of the laws of time and chance. This is the tragedy of the natural man. Nothing happens predictably. He's a victim of circumstances. He's a victim of whatever it is. Anything that is available, whether for good or evil, he becomes a victim or a recipient of. The natural man. Then the Bible talks about the carnal man. The carnal man is one who is saved but not transformed. Are we together now? He has not submitted to the governing authority of the Word of God for his excelling. So that man, even though he is an heir, because he is a child, he would differ not from the experience of a slave, even though potentially he is royalty. Are we together now? Then the Bible talks about the spiritual man, who has submitted, number one, to the authority of Scripture, and number two, to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He has become an active participant as far as defining his possibilities are concerned. I said all of that to tell you that these three groups of men do not have the same experience in life and destiny. Are we together? The natural man, because he's not even in the fold of Christ, he becomes the greatest victim of all these three people. The arrows that fly by day, the noisome pestilences, the destructions that waste in noonday, he will inevitably be a victim of such. For the carnal man, he will have many great and exceeding precious promises spoken concerning him, but never see them manifest in his life. Because the dynamics of manifesting the Zoe life, he has not yet been mentored through transformation to convert spiritual realities. Are we together? Towards an excelling life. So he will be in church, have a good Christian name, be a well-meaning Christian, but you will never see the expression of the God life in him. Hallelujah. The ones who get results that bring glory to the name of the Lord in this kingdom, are men who are spiritual. The Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death. It says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Are we still together? So, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I believe from verse 11, please give us the A part. Solomon was a very interesting person. He enjoyed the fruit of wisdom. He suffered the fruit of foolishness. And he learned a lot through pain and experience. And at the end of his life, utterly frustrated by the mix of both good and evil in his life, he came up with a very, very thought-provoking expression. And this is one of them. I returned, he said, and I saw under the sun, my God, first church, are we still here? It says that the race is not, this was a conclusion. It was not a lecture. At the end of his life, he came to certain conclusions that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding. I wish I had time to walk this, because normally, under normal circumstances, the race should be to the swift. It is the swift that wins. Under normal circumstances, victory in battle should be to the strong. Are we together? Under normal circumstances, bread is associated with wisdom. But he's saying, I have found out that there are circumstances that interrupt what should happen in the lives of men. That even though men are swift, it does not guarantee that they will gain time. Even though men can be wise in as much as we know earthly wisdom, Sophia, that there are times that earthly wisdom does not translate to bread. There are times that even the strong get defeated, like Goliath. So he's saying that there are forces that manipulate the normal course of human activities. That human activities do not always happen scientifically, mathematically. That there are spirits and there are influences that manipulate outcomes. So sometimes what should be is not. Sometimes the race, shockingly, does not happen to the swift. Wise men don't seem to have bread that defend their wisdom. Please keep the scripture there. Are you understanding what he's saying now? He's saying riches should usually gravitate naturally to men of understanding. But he's saying it's not always so. Yet favor to men of skill. There is a kind of favor that just by being skillful it should come. But he's saying that there are still possibilities in this kingdom that you can be so skilled like Peter and yet not catch fish. The problem of Peter was not lack of skill. It was not lack of the right tools. It was not lack of the right location. Everything was right. The boat was in the right place. The sea. The man was a fisherman. His net was fine. His skill was there, yet he did not catch fish. But then he says, time and chance. Time and chance happens to them all. This word time and chance is a realm of living. And I pray that you are delivered from this realm of living. It is a dangerous thing to be confined by the realities that only come through time and chance. Are we together now? Yes. By this expression, it means that there is a possibility that the believer can rise beyond the natural course of things and begin to redefine your realities. Are we together? So that naturally, it is unwise to expect your crops to produce in dry season because time and chance has caught up with the earth. Are we together now? So if you plant by December, by January, and you are waiting for the rain to water it, it means that you are not walking in wisdom because the earth has been subjected to the law of time and chance. But it's saying you can simulate your own rainy season so that in all seasons, even if the earth is dry, your own reality, it says you shall be like a tree, not a tree that is watered, a tree that is planted by the riverside. Other trees have to wait for seasons to change and work out for their advantage, but that you have found a place where perpetually your reality is not altered by time and chance again. Are you understanding this now? I'm trying to construct an idea that will help you appreciate favor. So God is helping us understand that there are different realms of living and that you can be a victim of, number one, time and chance. So there are times that you don't have to be born again for things to work for you. It's like the hand of a clock. If you are fortunate and you meet the flow of the season, things just seem to work for a while. But when the tides change, that's when you know that there was no advantage whatsoever. There are times you can be fortunate. As soon as you finish school, someone can just give you a job. And you will, it's not a product of your faith. It's just time and chance. You will know whether it's your faith by the time people hate you in that office. And someone now wants to take you out. And you find out that you just become a victim. You laugh one day and cry the other day. But that we can have a very superior way of living where we define our possibilities beyond the realm of time and chance. That looks like your destiny. Shout amen. Yeah. Are we learning now? So I've established the fact that there are many times that the natural course of things don't add up, even though all the ingredients that should be there are there. For many reasons, I don't want to delve into it. Many reasons. Number one, because the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, and the earth has He given to the sons of men. That means men can interrupt God's program in the life of a man. For instance, if God instructs me to give Reverend ₦1,000,000 this morning, God can reveal to him that someone is bringing ₦1,000,000. So as far as God's word is concerned, he should experience it. But my disobedience will punish him and make God look like a liar. Are we together? It is one of the reasons why the race is not always to the swift. There are people who win, but judges manipulate the results. So it is not a problem of incompetence. It is the human factor. Are we learning now? I hope you are understanding me. If all men were robots, then the natural course of things will happen excellently without interruption. But we have prejudices and biases. Someone can look at you and just hate you because you are not his tribe. Someone can look at you and hate you because you look like someone who hated him. Someone can look at you and just say, I fought with your father before you were born. And for that reason, so the race is not always to the swift. The battle is not always to the strong, nor favor to men of skill, nor riches and wealth to them of understanding. But if you need to represent God's purposes, you must outsource intelligence where you participate in defining your reality, and that you no longer become a victim of situations and circumstances. Are we together? And to achieve this for the believer, you have to be aware of the riches, the provisions that have been given to the believer to help you become an accurate representation of the Zoe life. We're getting to the subject of favor now. That means as part of God's commitment to helping you define your realities, as part of God's commitment, are we together? To helping you manifest the Zoe life, regardless the limitations that plague the world of men, He made available to all believers systems of advantage. He made available to believers forces of redemption, that if you know how to play with these forces profitably, you begin to define your realities regardless what is the prevalent condition. Are we together? So the believer is not left without an advantage, but the advantage of the believer is in the ability to piece together all the spiritual resources that have been made available for you. It is on account of these resources you are able to demonstrate the reality of the God life. Here's how the Bible puts it. It says grace and peace, please follow carefully, be multiplied unto you. Are we together? It says through the knowledge of Him that has called us into glory and virtue. Then it says whereby, listen, are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises working in our lives, we will demonstrate and experience that we are partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That means demonstrating the reality of the God life in you happens when you can piece these forces together. The dynamics, this resolve, when they are at work in your life, you begin to define yourself. People now begin to ask you, how come people just love you like that? And you tell them, people don't just love men like that. There is a system that compels men to respond profitably. How come you just gain time? Haven't lost 5 years. In 1 month, 5 years came back. And you tell them there is a system. The economy of God has several systems. And the believer is given the liberty to pick as occasion serves. The assignment of the teaching priest is to expose you to the vast spiritual resources that becomes your arsenals for commanding victory. So that when you stand before delay, you don't cry. You know what to pull. There is an arsenal. A vast, this is the idea of grace. The grace of God is like a warehouse, a compendium of all the spiritual possibilities that make man look like God. Did you know what I said? That you imagine a warehouse having all kinds of things. The name of that warehouse is grace. You find all kinds of things. Everything that can make a man become like God in experience, as far as manifesting the Zoe life, is captured within that warehouse called grace. Now, the intelligence to study the dynamics of drawing out the various resources, this is the assignment of the teaching priest. Jeremiah 3 and verse 15. And I will give you pastors or shepherds according to my heart. It says they shall feed you with knowledge. Hallelujah. They will feed you with knowledge and they will feed you with understanding. Do you understand all I've said so far? Yeah. So that by default you have no advantage. There is no such thing as advantage by default. It is a joke. The world is too wicked, too self-centered, too biased, too demonic to allow things happen just like that. If without engaging these forces, things are working well for you, life is just playing with you. Let me remind you, if without engaging these forces, your life seems to be alright, I assure you by the authority of Scripture that life is just playing games with you. I'm not praying, but things are working. Not fasting, but things are working. Not giving, but things are working. Don't understand relationships, but things are working. I don't listen to and speak Scripture, but things are working. I do not know the power of the prophetic, but things are working. No, it's a joke. Life is only playing games with you. Because these are the forces that help men define their realities. Are we learning? One of such forces that God has placed is what we call favor. All of this journey, this preamble was to get you right here. You see that now? That there are many. Favor is not the only force, but my goodness, it is a potent force that can help men manifest godlike possibilities in their lives. And I'm praying that as I run, we don't have all the time, but within the few minutes that I'll be helping you, in addition to all you have learned from your pastor, I'm praying for you that this will not be a lecture. That whilst you are listening, the spirit that is behind the word, that it will enter you like it did in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. You will rise out of this service, then you will marvel and wonder at what your life becomes. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, the Bible says, a good name should be desired than riches. And then it says, it is better to desire favor than silver or gold. Very profound advice. That if you are given riches and given a good name, if you choose riches, you were not wise. That if you choose a good name, riches will follow it. Are we together? But that is saying, if you place favor and place silver and gold, if you place silver and gold, you shortchange your life and destiny. That is the excellency of favor. Let's talk about favor. We define our realities by the forces of the kingdom that we have advantage of through knowledge. There are three fundamental things that you need to have to appreciate the subject of favor. And please let me just, in summary, let me just talk about them in passing. Number one, the first reason why we need favor in our lives is that destiny fulfillment is time dependent. Destiny fulfillment is time dependent. The very fact that destiny is subject to time means that you need favor, because many things can happen that can interrupt your time and interrupt your destiny. Destiny fulfillment is time dependent. Number two, destiny fulfillment is man dependent. Man dependent. Man dependent. You can have time, but if you don't have men, you will still not move forward. The reason why you need favor. God designed his system such that no man excels in isolation. The word be fruitful means be connected. Did you hear what I said? Be fruitful does not just mean be productive. It means be connected. Because everything reproduces on the strength of its connection. Number three, the third reason why you need favor is found in 1 John 5:19. The whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world lies in wickedness under the siege of Satan. This is the third reason why we contend for the understanding and the grace of favor. The whole world lies in wickedness. He says, and we know that we are of God. And then he says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world includes America. The whole world includes Nigeria, includes Abuja. Apostle, I don't know why they won't let me rest in my place of work. Here is the answer. The whole world lies in wickedness. How about my village? Same answer. The whole world lies in wickedness. How about some money that was supposed to come, but someone held it and said, for as long as I'm alive, you will not go forward. Same answer. The whole world lies in wickedness. How about someone saying, I don't like his name. Remove his name from the list of people to be promoted. Why is that so? The whole world lies in wickedness. Are we together now? Yes. Wickedness is not necessarily a reaction. It is how the world system is. A godless world system is wicked. It is not a reaction. That means nothing must come from you to receive it. Because babies were killed in the Bible who had no chance to prove whether they were good or bad. Moses was born and other children died. Jesus was born and other children died. Wickedness for you. That means if the favor of God is not at work in you, you will be under the full weight of this wicked world. And my goodness, all you need to do is to live a little longer to know how wicked the world is. the world became so wicked in the days of Noah, God himself said the wickedness of man was exceeding. God. Men invent different strategies of wickedness. Witchcraft and all these are the later parts of it. You see that? But humans everywhere, people can get up and decide to frustrate your children, frustrate your life. But what defines your possibility? The Bible says, and Noah found favor. Noah found grace. That was the first key. Otherwise, he would have been a victim of the wickedness of the times. Noah found grace. Hallelujah. What is favor? What is favor? To be favored means to be given unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, and unusual access. These three things. To be favored means to be given or to be accorded unusual kindness, number one, unusual acceptance, number two, unusual access. I've studied the subject of favor by the grace of God, and I've listened to people that I consider carriers of this grace. And in my study, I came up with these three classic expressions. It is impossible to say the favor of God is upon your life until we find these tripartite expressions. Unusual kindness. Say that after me, please. Number two, unusual acceptance. Number three, unusual access. When you find kindness, acceptance, and access coexisting in the life of an individual, that is the signature that favor is there. You see that not many people are really favored. We say favor, but the truth, if you examine it from the lens of these parameters, not many people have truly experienced the favor of God. One more time, unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, unusual access. Genesis chapter 39, 1 to 4. Let's rush. Genesis 39, my God. This grace must rest on somebody today. In the name of Jesus Christ. That someone by April ending, you will come back to church and say, look what has happened. That people will have to hold you and say, we know you are a Christian. We know you don't go to native doctors. What happened? And you tell them, I found out that the believer has been surrounded by systems of advantage that can help you define your reality. And that at the 4th year anniversary of this church, I came to church. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Because I found understanding and I found grace that has now helped me to define my reality. Say amen. Genesis 39. 1 to 4. Please pay attention as we read these scriptures. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And the Bible says, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, bought him, and had brought him down theta. We're reading to 4, very quickly. 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3. The Bible says, and his master saw. Men can see that the Lord is with a man. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that God made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4. And the Bible says, as a result, Joseph found grace, the word favor, in his sight, and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all. 3:21. May I request that we read together, if you can see it projected. Help us, media, so that we work with the time available. Exodus 3:21. Let me just quote for time. Exodus 3:21. I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. That may not be the scripture. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It says, and it shall come to pass, this is the proof, that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Hallelujah. Scripture number 3, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 6. Ezra 7 and verse 6. Very profound scripture. And Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him how many? All his requests according to the hand of God that was upon him. Not just according to the heart of the king. The king granted the request according to the hand of his God that was upon him. Please write this down. You are responsible for activating the flow of favor in your life. You are responsible. It is God's responsibility to grant you access to these riches in glory which he has in Christ. But you are responsible for activating and even channeling the flow of favor to your life. This is true. You are responsible. And before we pray and I speak over our lives, I want to give us 6 keys. I'm not teaching on them. I may just list them and then we'll pray. 6 keys. I give you a guarantee by the integrity of Scripture that if you walk in keeping with these keys and you engage them accordingly, there is no power in existence that will fight the flow of God's favor on your life. Do you believe that? Key number 1. The first key that controls the flow of authentic, genuine favor is honor. 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 When you honor men, when you honor God, when you honor principles, favor flows to you. Are we together? Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 talks about honor to all men, talks about honor even to the king. Romans 13 and verse 11. Verse 7. Romans 13:7, my apologies. 13:7, honor. It says, render therefore to all their dues. Watch this. Tribute, to whom tribute is due. Custom, to whom custom is due. Fear, or reverence, to whom reverence is due. Honor, to whom honor is due. What is honor? The discerning, the rewarding, and the celebrating of men for their unique advantages. If you disregard people and you disregard uniqueness, your door will be closed eternally. Don't see greatness and ignore it. Don't see sacrifice and ignore it. Don't see wisdom and ignore it. Don't see endurance and ignore it. Those who can discern are the ones who know how to accord honor. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, all I saw while I sat here and I was listening to the man, the friend of Reverend, while he was speaking, I saw for me it was not the story, it was that your pastor is worthy of double honor. Because you see, a man who has the leverage of people already, a system that fears God for him to rise in, versus the one who started from underground to foundation before he built. You see that now? There are people who naturally have the leverage. It was easy for them to delve into spiritual things. They never stole, never lied, never killed. There was no chance to even do it. For those people, their status is not really a measure of their endurance. The leverage was already there. But someone who already was at the valley of the shadow of death, that one, it was a strong hand that plucked him out. Are you getting the point now? Yes. It is important. I can tell you why many believers do not experience favor. We trivialize greatness. We commonize things. I am sure this pastor is just lifted. What is there? 4 years, I'm so what? Most things that people set up, 90% of them, statistic tells us, whether business or ministries fail within the first year. And the people are not wicked. It's just that sometimes they cannot stand what it takes to remain. Are we together? Honor. Don't disregard your pastor. Don't disregard his sacrifice. Don't disregard his fasting. Don't disregard the stamina, the staying power in the midst of fire of rain. I tell you why many people do not rise. Every time you dishonor anything admirable, you send a signal in the spirit that that result should never come to you. So you watch somebody that God has favored and you trivialize. Every time you pray for favor, your attitude creates a memorial before you in the spirit, and it prohibits you from entering that experience. It is true. You dishonor your pastor. You like read his books, listen to his messages from night to morning. That grace will be interrupted by a wall that your attitude created. It's why many people do not rise. Honor is not human worship. It's a product of wisdom. It's a product of discernment. I am what I am by the grace of God, Paul said. He says, however, this grace was not showered on me, in that I labored more than ye all. There was a time in this church, I'm aware, for over half of the year, the church was fasting and praying. Now, let me tell you the truth. Even if you are playing for that long, you will meet something. Either God or another spirit. You will never be the same after that time. You agree with me? Don't commonize and don't trivialize greatness. There are people who see every rich man and say, you see them now, these corrupt people. And yet in their hearts they want money. And they say, oh God, now. And God say, no, you have violated the law. Favor flows through systems, and one of it is honor. How many people want the position of their boss and they insult the man? He's a stupid man. I'm even surprised that this man is a billionaire. How did he become? He looks like a dummy, but he employed you. A dummy that can employ 5,000 people, is he really a dummy? You have to throw away prejudices. How about children who trivialize their parents? Oh, my mother is not educated. What a dull woman. But she raised 12 boys, and none of them is a thief. You think she's not deserving of honor? She did not read any book about family planning and parenting, but by crude instinct, laced with the mercy of God, she raised 8 men, and the least of them is a champion. Our world is full of dishonor. You see your guest artists and people that come here, and most times we just ignore people. Most things that people criticize is what they secretly want. That's why they never get it. Are we together? Oh, you saw your beautiful worship team. I sat there and I saw these guys. I know the kind. I used to be a music director. I know the kind of rehearsal that produces this outcome. And for someone, while you are just saying, so what? It's nice, but so what? You see, you repent of that attitude in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, sir. 4 years. You have taught us the truth with integrity. You have not manipulated us nor merchandised the gospel. You see that now? Honor. I'm showing you how this thing works. God is not a magician. Yes, sir. Let me tell you the truth. When God wants to help you, your pastor said it. Truly, he shortens the distance between you and the anointing. Hallelujah. When Satan wants to destroy your life, he also shortens the distance between you and the destroyer. Lot was fine until he came near Sodom. That was his problem. He didn't enter Sodom. He just settled near Sodom. That's all you need. Proximity to evil can qualify you to experience evil. Proximity to the anointing can qualify you to experience the anointing. Proximity is a very powerful thing. Be mindful of what you are close to. Be mindful of what you are close to. You are close to destruction, you most likely will be destroyed. You are close to wisdom, you most likely will encounter wisdom. You are close to a living church, you most likely will encounter the power of God. Are we learning now? So the first key is honor. Number two, very quickly. What is the second key that controls favor? Integrity. 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 Proverbs 27, integrity. This is a very subtle but powerful virtue. Integrity. Please give it to us. Proverbs 27. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. Can I tell you this? There are people who do not have the ability to collect loan from a bank. They will not even try it. You see? But there are people of such solid integrity. He said, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children will be blessed after him. The word integrity comes from the word integer. Same within as without. Void of falsehood. Authentic. Are we together? Yeah. You know one of the reasons why the Bible says, Reverend Sir, he said, John performed no miracle. John performed no miracle. But that every word he spoke was true. This was the secret of John. I studied church growth. I used to think the only thing that brings membership is just miracles and signs and wonders. But sincerely, the largest churches across the globe, and with all due respect, I took the Catholic system as a case study. You will not see miracles, you will not even see Rema. And yet you will see loyalty, God-like loyalty. Integrity, even if it's the semblance of it, carries power. Are we together? The greatest way to market is to tell the truth. You have no fear if it is true. Bury the truth. After 3 days, it will come back to life. The truth is powerful. It is invincible. Your confidence must always be that you are standing on the side of truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Are we together? So if you are marketing something to the degree to which falsehood exists around that product, that is the degree to which labor and energy will be invested in convincing people. Truth has power in itself. Most people who stand on truth do not have the pressure to explain. Truth is powerful. Are we together? You want favor? Let men trust you. They will go to any length. There are people who would rather keep their money with individuals than keep it in the bank. For 10 years, they will say, do whatever you want to do with it. Just make sure any time I need it, I have it. Truth. Many Christians do not have integrity. They have sincerity, but not integrity. Integrity, the character of sameness, void of falsehood, authenticity. Why do you run away from fake things? Because they carry a semblance of truth. But the quality of that truth, when you dig in, you will find out that it's not there. So you buy what looks like Panadol. By the time you swallow it, the headache increases. And you have to say, no, this cannot be Panadol. And then later you find out that it was just something that was put together. Why does it annoy you? Because it marketed health to you, but did not deliver. Integrity. We can spend all day talking about integrity, but integrity requires two things. Number one, the heart to be authentic, but the wherewithal to be authentic. This is why you need engracing. If not, you will not have integrity. Engracing. You can intend to be true, but do you have the grace that keeps you in truth? Hallelujah. Integrity. Number three. Let's work with time. Are you ready for the third key? The third key that controls favor is called value and productivity. Value and productivity. Proverbs 18:16. Proverbs 18:16. Value and productivity. Here's what the Bible says. A man's gift. Replace that gift with anything. A man's value, a man's contribution, a man's anointing, a man's wisdom shall make room. I like the word make room. It didn't say introduce him to an empty room. There's no empty room anywhere. It is the gift that will push people till it finds your space in destiny. There is no space waiting for you anywhere. It's an illusion. Your gift makes room. makes room for you and brings you before great men. Show me people who are contributors. The world is tired of takers. The moment you become a liability to people, both spiritual, economic, and so on and so forth, they will find diplomatic ways to avoid you. One of the ways you know that you are not actively contributing to people is that your presence does not create excitement. The moment people start frowning at your presence and he has come again, how do I drive this person out of my house now? It's a sign that you need to be valuable. I've taught that there are two doors that lead to the realm of greatness. One of it is called the door of need, N-E-E-D. The other is called the door of value. Both of them can lead you to the realm of greatness, but one leads you to become a slave there, whereas the other leads you to become a lord there. The door of need can bring you to valuable people, but you will remain on your knees before them forever. But the door of value can still bring you before the great, and even though they are great, they will call you great. It's for you to choose which door you want to follow. Many of us have chosen the door of need. Is someone learning wisdom now? Yes. Always begging. You will still be in the presence of greatness, but you will remain a slave forever. But when you come through the door, because every man's need is his point of contact. Even Pharaoh has a need. Ahasuerus has a need. God too has a need. And whoever becomes the basis for satisfying that need, you secure the attention of the great. If I'm thirsty, it's the one holding water that commands my attention, not the one saying good morning. You can shout good morning, but the person who can feed my thirst is the one who secures my attention. Are we together now? The door of need. I'm showing you very kingdom compliant, pragmatic ways for commanding favor. Every time you see great people, don't be in a hurry to get there through need. Good afternoon, sir. It's amazing. I didn't even know I'm going to see you. Just to ask, is it possible to get, even if it's 200,000 Abba, you are more than that. I know that God is telling you something. Don't ignore what God is saying. You see, you are in the presence of greatness, but you will most likely leave disappointed. Even if the man gives you that just to secure his ego, he will mark you as a cancer and run away from you the next time. Hallelujah. As much as God has called me, I love everybody, but I don't attend to everybody with the same passion. It's not partiality, it's how the system works. Are we together? You gravitate towards, the Bible called Elijah, the one who poured water in the hands, Elisha, the one who poured water in the hands of Elijah. There are people, if they call you and they are in distress, because of their level of contribution to your life, they have become pillars, they have become strengtheners. You will arise no matter how sleepy and call upon heaven for their sake. But there are people whose lives and calls always show that they are a nuisance. They are takers, not givers. Say, I'm a giver. I'm not talking money. Say, I'm a giver. Hallelujah. Value and contribution. You're a man of God and you're not sound in scripture. You are not giving. You're a pastor who is always taking and you're not pouring your all. Be ready for empty pews. You see that now. That is the truth. Value and contribution. Number four. Let's hurry up. What is the fourth key that controls favor? Are you ready for this? Strategic relationships. The power of connection. Strategic relationships. This is true. You are as powerful as the helpers that surround you. Let me repeat myself. You are as powerful as the helpers that surround you. Hallelujah. Even a king, if in isolation, is already defeated. Even in the throne room, it is not empty. God is not sitting alone. He's surrounded. Jesus at his right hand, there are 20 and 4 elders. Question is, what are they doing there before a majestic God? You would think because God is almighty, he should be alone in a quiet room. No. The world thrives on connection. If you are alone, it's a sign of an attack. Everybody cannot hate you. Even Satan is not hated by everybody. I was saying it somewhere while I was teaching at a conference in Lagos, that Terrorists have wives. They have children. There are women who marry terrorists. I know you are a killer, but I'm ready to stand before the altar. Will you spend the rest of your life with this wicked man? Yes, I do. So everybody cannot hate you. Satan is not hated by everybody. And who hates you does not matter. Believe me. One of the things you must learn in this life is how cheap the opinions of men are. It's not worth your attention. Attention is an expensive commodity. Don't waste it. But the one person who likes you can redefine your life. Are we together now? Relationships. When God wants to lift you, He relocates the kind of audience you serve. He will place you in the presence of those who have a recognition for what you carry. Let me tell you, it is a painful experience when you are gifted, but surrounded by people who have no discernment and recognition for what you carry. Joseph interpreted three people's dreams. The dream of the wine presser, he remained in the prison. Baker, he remained in the prison. Egypt, he interpreted his dream. He came out one minister. Matters whose dream you are interpreting. So when God wants to help you, among the many things He does is that He lifts you to the right people. And let me tell you, if you enter the company of those who have the grace to appreciate and reward what you carry, you will almost be flattered by the level of honor, recognition, and reward. There are places Jesus went to that they looked at Him as a commoner, but there were places He went to that there was a reaction. One woman at the well left her water pot, left everything, and went to a city and shouted it. Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. I'm praying for you. If the company of the people that are with you do not have a recognition for what you carry, may my God relocate you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ask anybody who rose in this kingdom. And if they are to be sincere with you, their advantage came when God brought them in the presence of people who had the recognition for what they carried. Somebody can look at you and give you a house and a car in one day, and you'll be wondering, and the person will say, make sure, I pray that God will take you to those looking for you. If I am looking for a cup and you bring me a spoon, I will not place value on it, because that's not what I'm looking for. Are we together now? So I'm praying for you again. The person who has been praying for what you carry, the person who has been praying for the skill you have, the person who has been praying for the unique anointing, the ministry God has given you, by prophecy, I gravitate you towards those people. Hallelujah. I have seen gifted people insulted in the presence of an audience that did not need their grace. I have seen great preachers trivialized because they were in the presence of people who had no discernment for their investment. I have seen business people reduced to ashes because they came to the wrong audience, dispensing global dimensions of value. But because they were with people who had no recognition. I've seen great people who kings will pay for anything to have those people. But because they were in the midst of people familiar with them. There are some of you, the skill you carry now, let me tell you. If you find the people who have been praying for you, they will even give you a house and call it a privilege. But the challenge is that you are surrounded by people who your value is higher than their need. They do not even have the recognition of it. Believe what I'm telling you. So when God wants to favor a man, God looks for the person praying for you. He does not know it's you He's praying for. Lord, bring a secretary with wisdom. I need a lady with intelligence, spirituality, and integrity. And that person has been praying for you since last year. But he says, I desire to come to you once and again, Paul said. He said, but Satan hindered us. There are people Satan has stood as a blockade, stopping Pharaoh from meeting Joseph, stopping Esther from meeting Ahasuerus, stopping Ruth from meeting Boaz. I pray for you by the Spirit of grace that everything that stands as a distance between you and the men, the company, the people who have a recognition for your value, I pray it out of the way. In the name of Jesus Christ, please sit down. If I had the time, I would have shared with you testimonies of how God helped me. It started when God took me to the people who had value. You will be surprised. You have this kind of gift and you are here? So you mean you are this kind of exceptional secretary? I've been managing people and giving them millions for not giving value and you are here? Did Joseph ever know that his gift was worth Egypt? Did you see what I said? If Joseph knew it, the pain of the wife of Potiphar would not even bother him. The foolishness of his brothers would not bother him. The worth of Joseph's gift was the entire Egypt. May God open your eyes this morning so that the petty things, the little trouble from your office will not distract you. There is a bigger reward. The value of Joseph's gift was even bigger than Pharaoh and Egypt. Pharaoh said, I am Pharaoh, and it is only in the Kedar that I will be higher than you. But in terms of administration, Egypt is yours. Some of you are carrying things that are bigger than Nigeria as a nation. Carrying things that are bigger than whatever, but you are looking at the color of your skin. Just because you are quiet in some place in Abuja here, the devil is deceiving you. Oh, I've been in the civil service. Just because there is a way to be promoted, regardless how skilled you are, you have to walk through it. But when God locates you to the right people, in one day, they will celebrate, appreciate your value. Can I prophesy? In the name that is above all names, I say it again by the Spirit of grace. I push you as a prophetic midwife. Find your helpers. Find your helpers. I stand by the apostolic and the prophetic. I decree and declare, may God push you to your helpers. Please sit down. Sit down. Hallelujah. Listen to me. When you find the people who have an appreciation for what you carry, Reverend Sir, my life changed. You see that now? You are going to tempt me to tell you something that I was supposed to tell my people first. But because I'm in this church, I will say it. Listen to me. The reason why you saw they were saying okay to finish fast is because I leave tomorrow for US. I was invited by Harvard University to deliver 2 lectures. Not to preach. To deliver lectures first. You see that? On the role of faith in the development of contemporary Africa. Harvard. Now listen, I don't know anybody there. I've never been to Harvard. How do you explain this? The Bible says, Gentiles will come to your light. Except if you have been reading a Bible verse, it says kings to the brightness of your rising. You can manipulate church, but when secular systems see your value, those guys are not dads and they are not dummies. You are intelligent people here. There is a real grace called favor. Please be patient as I wrap up, because this thing must rest on someone this morning. In the name of Jesus, God has spoken to your pastor. He has spoken. You can believe it, or you can sit down and argue like the scribes and the Pharisees. They were in every meeting of Jesus, but they did not receive anything. I now feel bad. I've told you. I hope you're taking it for pride. Relationships. Be fruitful means be connected to the right people. Be connected to the right people. To the right people. 5 foolish men around your life, you've heard me say it. There are 6. You are the 6th. 5 wise people around your life, wrong calculation. You are the 6th. You will always be a reflection of the ideologies, the values, the convictions, and the graces of the people you choose to surround yourself with. You surround yourself with mediocres going nowhere, you will go nowhere. Because even if you want to go, your loyalty to their mediocrity pegs you there and you remain down. Are we together? When God wants to make you wealthy on time, He does not just make you productive. He connects you to a wealthy man. Believe it or not, I'm just telling you, this is how it happens. You know how Abraham became rich? God spoke to him. Abimelech was used by God. The wealth of Abraham came as an apology from Abimelech from wanting to take his wife. Go and read your Bible. That wealth was so much, he shared it with Lot. When God wanted to help Ruth, He brought her to Boaz. Boaz was not struggling. When God wanted to help Esther, He removed Vashti and put Esther there. I don't believe in get rich quick, but I also don't believe in get rich slow. Because spending your life looking for money is a cost. Did you hear what I said? I'm not teaching you carnality and all of that, no. We love Jesus Christ. It is a cost. It's a programming to take away your heart from God. You should never spend your lifetime looking for money. Take it from me. It is a cost. You will never have the time to serve the purposes of the kingdom. There are many people who do not even know what their life is about, because the whole journey is about making ends meet. It is vain to wake up in the morning and to sleep late at night, only to eat the bread of sorrow. The Bible says, but He giveth His beloved sleep. Relationships. If you ask me today, you come to me for an advice and say, Apostle, I'm trusting God to help and lift me. I will pray for you that God should make you valuable, but I will pray that God should take you close to people He has already helped. You see that a poor man cannot make you a millionaire. He can help you to have good character. He can help you to know how to manage. You only give what you have. Hallelujah. When God wants to help you, on one hand, while you are raising others, it takes time to rise until you are established and Jesus increased. It took 30 years for Him to be matured enough for His assignment. Are we together? Yes. There are times that if, as a young man, you are done with school and you want to scale your life with the dignity of kingdom integrity, void of falsehood, it will take you an average of 4 to 5 years in our economy. That is, if you are privileged based on the world system to get your footing together. And it will take you forever to join the struggle until you are established. By you, I can run through a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. Are you supposed to leap over a wall? No. When you stand by a wall, you wait and hope there is a ladder. If there is no ladder there, then you go and start finding the wood to make a ladder. And it takes a long time. But it says, by you, I can run through a troop. By my God, without a ladder, I leap over a wall. I prophesy to you, 10 years in 1 year. I say it again. 10 years in 1 year. By God who has helped me and shown me mercy. 10 years in 1 year. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Please sit down. 10 years in 1 year. I hope I'm not wasting your time. When it's time to pray, pray for relationships. So, ask this, my dear people here, there are various ministries. They are as empowered as the relationships that have value for them to accelerate them. Because once you are doing, you love God and you are not doing secular, from a human standpoint, you are already disadvantaged. That is the truth. The church is still growing into having the kind of appreciation to appreciate gifts that have ignored the world to serve Jesus. It would take the leverage of men. When God wanted to help me, He brought men. God answers prayers by sending men. Men are like trays. If I ask you to serve me food and you are bringing it, you will not hold rice on your hand and spoon on the other hand. You will serve it in a tray. So when I see a tray coming, I start rejoicing. That tray represents men. When you see men coming, start discerning what is a man. There are things that God has placed in men. Are we together now? Relationships. Number 5. How do you activate favor in your life? By praying favor-provoking prayers. Write it down. Prayer has a strong role to play in manifesting favor in your life. Favor-provoking prayers. Is there such a thing? Ask Jabez. The Bible says the mother named him Jabez. What did he do? She just had pain bearing him and she called him Jabez. Sorrow, reproach. A day came. The Bible starts by telling us the end of the story. And Jabez was more alive. For when a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with you. True dominion is when enemies walk the purposes of God in your life. Not just whatever it is, Cyruses and Pharaohs. Abimelech was not a godly king. Yet that was the reason for the prosperity of Abraham. Pharaoh, the prosperity of Egypt. Ahasuerus, the prosperity of Esther. Favor-provoking prayers. Some of you need to go back and do something about this empty-handedness. No job, no growth, no favor. Someone will stand, you and three of your friends, remove $100, give one, give the other one, and say it's finished when it was getting to you. And you just smile and say it's alright. It's not alright. What you permit will grow in your life. Did you hear what I said? Right from the days of John the Baptist and until now, the kingdom suffered violence. And the violent takes it by force. If it does not look like what God has said, don't be silent. You only shut your mouth when it becomes consistent with what God has said. Your mouth is the navigator of your destiny. It must look like what God has said. Keep quiet and watch things go down. Just when your helper was to reach you, they stole from his house and he went back and he says, it's all right, there's no problem. Someone promised you, I will give you my 3-bedroom flat here. The night before he reached you, and Ahithophel spoke to him and said, don't help that family. By the next day, he said, don't call me again. And you are saying it's all right. It's not all right. Someone shout, no way. Say it again. Say, no way. Get provoked in your spirit. If things are inconsistent with what God has said, shut your door. Hold on to the horns of the altar. In the name of Jesus. With favor shall you surround the righteous as with a shield. Let me give you the final one. What is the final key to activating favor? Impartation. Favor is a grace. Favor is a grace. Abound in this grace also. Abound in this grace also. There are different kinds of graces. There are different dimensions of graces. It says, even as you have abounded in others, abound in this grace also. You have secured other graces, but there is still an also. Abound in this grace also. Hallelujah. There is a real grace for favor. I looked at my life and I saw that I didn't have any advantage, and that if the favor of God did not rest upon my life with the kind of call God had given me, I would probably not be able to achieve it. I didn't want to manipulate people, not just from a financial standpoint. And I knew that if you are not favored and helped by God, you will be closer to the corridors of compromise. There are many good people today whose lives are in distress simply because they were not favored. And I was watching a TV program, Reverend, the late Pat Robinson. I heard they were talking, and he said when he was a young man about to start ministry, he said he went to the Lord in prayer and he said, God, I'm a young man about to start 700 Club, CBN, most of you know him. He's gone to be with the Lord. He said, God, give me three things. Number one, give me wisdom. Number two, give me favor. Number three, give me the power of the Holy Ghost. I went and prayed and fasted my life. I repeated that same thing. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me favor. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I took the whole of a February. Can't remember what year was that. The whole of a February, I was studying on this subject of favor. I got the materials of Kenneth Copeland, the materials of Dr. Modoc. People that I know were embodiments of this favor. Because you see, the law is to follow them. There are some them who are not obtaining. They have obtained. They have obtained. I took out time to pray. And that was when God opened my eyes to see that favor is not luck. God taught me that if it happens only once, it's not favor. Consistency is the proof that it is favor. There is a difference between breakthrough and favor. When it happens consistent, regardless of the human actors used, consistent results. You are in Lagos, is the same result. You go to the north, is the same result. You go abroad, is the same result. It is proof that the favor of God is upon you. Because it says, thou anointest my head with oil. The question is, what is the name of that oil? What is the name of the oil that causes your cup to run over? He does not anoint the cup. If the cup is empty, don't blame the cup. The cup is responding to the absence of what is on your head. He does not anoint the cup. Thou anointest my head with oil, but my cup, my business, my ministry, my career, that is what runs over. So I can know what is on your head by looking at the physical structure. There has to be a physical representation. Are we together now? This is true. Daily, God can help a man till he becomes strong as a nation. Daily, from any length to any length, God can help you. And Uzziah prospered because he was marvelously helped of the Lord. Marvelously helped of the Lord. Marvelously helped in business. Marvelously helped in ministry. Marvelously helped of the Lord. Let me tell you the truth. Behind the exploits of men you see, there are efforts, there are contributions. But I can tell you, the mysterious force behind the help of God, or behind the advancement of men, is the help of God. But you see, that help needs to be defined, because there are three ways God helps men. Number one, his mercy. Number two, favor through the ministry of men. Number three, through the ministry of the helper himself. This is how God helps men. Every time you say, God help me, this is how he helps: by introducing mercy. Mercy solves your problem spiritually, because it lifts a garrison of defense against the accusations of the enemy over your life. That is the assignment of mercy. So that which should come on account of your defaults do not happen. You are saved by mercy. Favor happens through the ministry of men. And then the Spirit of God comes himself as the helper, that paraclete. This is how God helps men. From Genesis to Revelation, every man God has helped is a combination of this. And the believer has an advantage of all three. To come boldly before the throne of grace, you might obtain mercy and grace even to help in time of need. And God gives men to men. He gave gifts to men. Those gifts are not talents. He gave men to men. He gave men as treasures to men. Not just fivefold ministry. He can give a good secretary to a company. He can give a good pastor to a church. He can give a good husband to a wife. God is still in the business of giving men to men. And then finally, the Holy Spirit comes. Now, let me tell you something about the favor of God as I wrap up. When the favor of God comes upon your life, there is a dimension of his favor, and that's what we call the power to prosper. I want to wrap up by defining for you how it works. For a long time, I heard people talk about the power to prosper, and the only thing I thought about was money, until the Spirit of God schooled me into an understanding that the power to prosper has nothing to do with money. Financial prosperity is just a byproduct of the ministry of that grace. Are we together? The power to prosper is the singular reason for the advancement of men. If that grace does not rest upon you, you cannot go forward. And the Spirit of God opened my eyes to see that that grace works in three dimensions. When that grace comes on you, the first place it comes on is on your mind. It re-engineers your thinking, your ideology, and your mentality, and brings you to a point where, from a standpoint of superior understanding, you begin to take decisions that are pro-prosperity, pro-favor, pro-advancement. Are you seeing that? There's no superstition about this. The favor of God is spiritual, but it can be explained. There is a science to it. So it comes on your mind. Number two, it comes on the works of your hands. Because that is the primary channel through which the blessing of the Lord flows through your life. He blesses the works of your hands. Number three, it comes on your feet, providing guidance and direction. Not direction alone. The assignment of direction is to focus you on the destination, but the assignment of guidance is to focus you on the steps that lead to the destination.